Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
A lot of high praise for a guy who's not winning a lot of games and has a lot of game-ending interceptions and, you know, turns the ball over a good deal and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you said it.
I did say it, and I do believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also annoyed at the people that have changed their view completely and not really acknowledge the changing of their view completely. Yes, Dan Orlovsky, I'm talking to you.
Sure.
Who now says you had to struggle to not put Drake May number one overall in a redraft.
Which, by the way, can we not overcompensate so hard? Like, come on. Now Drake May's number one ahead of Daniels as an MVP candidate this year? Like, please.
And that's my
and
point.
And also, he had Bo Nix behind Caleb Williams, which I think is wrong, too.
But forget that. Like,
Nix should be ahead of Williams. He should be last. Williams.
Jaden Daniels one is... He's not making mistakes, no. And he's winning games.
Yeah.
Like, as a rookie young quarterback, he may have better number one receiver. He does. He may have a better offensive coordinator. He certainly does, after what I heard today from Alex Van Pelt, who I had just turned a corner from Sunday, gave him praise for Sunday's game, thought he had one of his better games, thought while the defensive guys were embarrassing themselves, he was actually looking like a professional. Then he's going to go out there and talk. And undo all the goodwill that I had built
like Marcus up. Jones, the defensive back?
The guy from Green Bay?
What?
Which one? Who are you talking about?
What, on offense?
Oh, you mean the guy that played both ways at Houston in college?
No.
And I was an NFL offensive coordinator, and you would think would be kind of going through your draft prep and learning everybody? Some slappy like Andy Hart, who's just doing a freaking podcast called Six Rings with some other slappy called Fitzy, goes through all these guys and literally tries to learn a little bit about each one of them. But Alex Van Pelt didn't know that Marcus Jones played offense in college.
He played offense in the pros.
Forget about that. Maybe he was so caught up in his Cleveland times
2 years ago.
Although they did cross paths. And it means he also didn't even watch like SportsCenter.
Right.
Or because he had a touchdown in all three phases.
Yeah.
It was like a talk of the town, a talk
he
of the league.
He had a walk-off punt return touchdown.
Yeah. Nah, Alex Van Pelt, he's too
busy. I'm pretty sure that led SportsCenter that night. Like, I would imagine that was right. A lot of people saw that. Yeah.
Because people were mocking the Jets for kicking to him.
Right.
Right, like there was a secondary aspect to it. That pained me to hear that today. And you know what that goes in line with? That goes in line with Drake May yesterday saying, football is simple, people are complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have these people that don't even know what's going on around them, never mind in the entirety of the league. And I don't mean to bully Alex Van Pelt, but I'm sorry. I got a bully pulpit today, and I'm going to use it because that was bad. That was really bad. Now, to get back to the point of the discussion, Drake May, how good he is. Is he really worthy of all the praise? Now you got this latest graphic. He's 92% accurate. I don't even know what that means. Like, he's accurate. 92%.
Oh, the Orlovsky thing that he was talking about?
Well, it's this chart that everybody's using. He's mm-hmm. He's got a 92. He's more accurate than any quarterback in football. 91.9% accuracy. I don't know if I really buy that. Am I really buying that? Because I got to tell you, I saw him try to throw one away that he threw right to the other team.
Right.
That felt incredibly inaccurate. And the interception.
Well, if he was aiming for the defensive back.
Oh, yeah, well, if that guy was his teammate, if he's colorblind or whatever, yeah, that's perfect. Great throw. Hit him
nailed
in the hands. And he's good and accurate. Like, his incompletions last week, I told you I thought he was borderline perfect in the first quarter because he hit Booty on the slant, right in the hands. Oh, I'll throw it too hard. Yeah, catch the ball, Booty. And then he threw to Booty, and he didn't fight for the ball down the left side. So he was borderline perfect accurate there. But you would like to point out, we'll get to this week's interception in a minute, but you'd like to point out that the interception to lose the game in overtime, no matter what Booty did or didn't do, was not an accurate throw.
No, it was not.
That was inaccurate. Mm-hmm. So any, like, his accuracy...
Booty maybe could have tried to knock it down a little harder. Fine.
Sure.
But it was not a good throw.
Absolutely. So his accuracy is suddenly being overblown. And he actually got a little defensive, if you remember, 2 weeks ago when I asked him about improved accuracy. Might have been this week, improved accuracy. And
he was like,
I'm pretty much, I've always been accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He got a little defensive that anyone would question his accuracy. I think his accuracy has been questionable at times. I watched every training camp practice, Drake. I was there every day. There was some questionable accuracy. Like that day when you hit Kyle Duggar in stride on the way to the end zone. Again, unless you were intending to throw to the defensive player in stride, you were not accurate on that throw. So his accuracy leads a little bit to be desired. But this week's throw, this week's game ender, the beauty of it is we found out, finally, it was on DeMario Douglas.
Yes. Well, according to Alex Van Pelt, who doesn't know everything.
If I question his knowledge and credibility in one area, how can I then point to him as my expert witness in the other area?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, you wily bum, you got me there.
Listen, whatever. Either way, the results are what they are. Whether it was Pop Douglas' fault, whether it was Drake May's fault, whether it was somewhere in between that they weren't on the same page, it was a game-ending interception. It was the second one he's had, and he hasn't played that many games. Here's Dan Orlovsky's tweet from about 6 hours. This is 8:30 this morning. He says, Drake May has been, all caps, way more precise than I expected. He's the only qualified quarterback who's been off target on less than 10% of his throws this season. He had two misses on 64 throws in his last two games, snipering, which I don't think is a word. And then he has two flame emojis and at Paul Hembo, who I don't know who Paul Hembo is. I guess he works on Get Up. Hembo, isn't that what Seinfeld called Elaine's boyfriend? Oh, no, he's a mimbo. He's a male bimbo. He's a mimbo. A himbo, right? Something like that?
Sure.
No, anyway.
Just go with it.
Two misses on 64 throws in his last two games. That's it?
So,
seems not right.
I can think of the one that was an interception 2 weeks ago, right to the other guy. That's a miss, right?
It's got to be one of them, yeah.
So, he's only got one other miss the whole time? I find that hard to believe.
I also find that hard to believe.
Really hard to believe. I mean, I'm going to need the All-22 crew to chime in here.
He was 29 of 39, and there were some drops. I mean, I remember there was that fastball, the Booty that he dropped, and a couple others in that game. And I thought he was pretty accurate in the Rams game. In the game before that against the Bears, he hadn't. Let me see. This was 15 of 25. So again, I mean, that's 20 incompletions between those two games, and he only missed two?
18 of them. What were the other 18?
Good question.
They were all drops? I don't think they were all drops.
You have to ask Dan Orlovsky, or you have to ask his friend Mimbo over there. I'm not sure. 617. Yes.
I just need to address the texter.
Okay.
630. Andy, so Orlovsky isn't allowed to change his opinion on May, but you're allowed to change yours on AVP? Seems a bit contradictory. No. I didn't say he can't change his opinion. Acknowledge somewhere
that you were wrong.
Opinion change. Because it's not that he was like, I'm not really sure about Drake May.
He said there's no amount of money in the world you could pay me to start him in the next 2 years, basically said. Yeah.
Like, he went over the top, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. It's entertaining.
He does go over the top.
Yes,
that's
and
true.
I love that. And that gives you something to point at. Mm-hmm. There's no wishy-washy. You know what he said, and you know how he feels, and I love that. But when it is so wrong that you suddenly believe he should have gone number one overall in the draft, can I get like a video breakdown of just how you were so wrong?
Here's what I thought. Here's why I don't think it anymore. You know, like something along that. That's what I've been doing. Like, listen, I wasn't high on Drake May. I wasn't high on any of these quarterbacks. I've done an about face on some of them, not all of them. I feel like I'm kind of vindicated on Caleb Williams, and I did like Jaden Daniels, but May I was wrong about. You know, Nick's, I think, is better than I was expecting. May's definitely better than I was expecting him to be. And I've evolved in my take on that. You know, I watched them in college. I wasn't all that impressed. I didn't know if it would translate well in the NFL. And so far it has been. Drake May is not a finished product. He's not someone that you look at and say, well, everybody who thought he might not be able to make it and cut it in the NFL, you're all clearly wrong. He's started some games and he's looked good, but that doesn't mean he's suddenly this great player yet. I mean, he's not there. It's still early on in his rookie season to be saying any of those things.
If he continues to play the way he's playing now, next year and the year after, he's the same guy that's playing tonight for the Cleveland Browns. He's Jameis Winston. He's a guy that can sling it all over the field, mm-hmm. throw touchdowns and throw interceptions, turn it over, and you can't win with him. right? Like, that's what he'll be. He'll be a gunslinger, yep. right? Just like Jameis Winston. And that's fine. He'll probably have a career where he'll bounce
it's
around.
Not
and,
fine if he's Jameis Winston.
No. But it's fine to be that. But people right now are projecting a top 5 to 7
yeah, people are talking about him
something.
Like John Elway.
Right.
I mean, that's what's happening.
And,
yeah.
Well, and I did make some comparisons to John Elway pre-draft.
Did you?
People yelled at me.
Okay.
I believe Fourier may have yelled at me. Really mean, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What
I think
say?
It was him. I don't know. He just thought it was so ridiculous. And I was like, why is it ridiculous? He's big, strong, can throw, can run. You know, because if you're comparing him to Allen, to me, the next one kind of behind that is Elway.
Yeah.
Like, those are similar body types, play styles, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he's Elway. Doesn't mean he's the greatest. Because Elway might be the most well-rounded talent at quarterback that ever played the game. When you take running ability, yeah. size, arm
him,
strength.
Like Steve Young. Yeah, there's some like, other. Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
he's in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest winner, not necessarily, but just the pure physical skills. And I thought Drake May was in that world, a lower level, but in that world.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Rob's in Cleveland. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Listening on the Odyssey app. Great show.
Cool. Thank you very much. By the way, yes, the Odyssey app, if you're not listening to it on there, you can also listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say, play 93.7 WEEI. What's up, Rob?
Vice host one.
So I was at that game back in 2022, and it's not just kind of a failure of AVP not noticing it, because the Pats absolutely destroyed the Browns that day. In fact, I was listening to the Six Strings on the way home. I remember listening to it to Thank Andy you. And to Fitzy.
Thank you.
But also, it was so bad. It was, I think, Bailey Zappi's first game, so the start of Zappi Magic when he first started. And I think Clyde Thornton caught a touchdown pass, if you
yes.
believe that.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other side of it, they destroyed Cleveland so bad, you would think the front office would pay attention, because the quarterback from the Browns that day was Jacoby Brissett. And I think he threw 2 picks and maybe also had a fumble. And they absolutely destroyed the Browns. So it's kind of a miss on both sides.
Jacoby Brissett did have 2 touchdowns and 2 fumbles, and he lost one of the fumbles. So you're right about that, Rob. Also, yes, Bailey Zappi was the quarterback. Tyquan Thornton had 2 touchdowns in that game. He had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown in that,
that
game.
That was...
It's like an alternate universe, honestly, if you think about it. Like,
that was the now infamous Fitzy in that postgame show that the caller brings up, and in the subsequent week of Six Rings podcasts, was over the moon. That draft class was going to be awesome because they were all contributing. He's like, Tyquan Thornton is playing, Bailey Zappi. He loved it. He was like, he thought it was the greatest draft class ever. And,
yeah.
Well, it wasn't.
Things change. Things change quickly. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your Patriots phone calls. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join the show at 3:30. And first, here's Stiz with What's Trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, and here's what's trending this hour on WEI and WEI.com. Trending brought to you by FineMassMoney.gov. Joe Sacco will make his debut tonight as head coach of the Bruins after Jim Montgomery was fired 2 days ago. The Bruins will welcome the Utah Hockey Club to the Garden tonight. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Korpisalo will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. Patriots were back out on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 12 matchup against the Dolphins. Kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium at 1 p.m. There were 4 DMPs during yesterday's practice. Those names included Christian Barmore, Jacqueline Roy, Vidarian Lowe, and Dietrich Wise. 7 other players were limited. Offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt spoke with the media earlier today, and here's where he said the Patriots could use some improvement.
Definitely some areas we still need to improve in. You know, we highlighted for our offense the red zone. We're going to score touchdowns when we get down there. And really short yardage, we've got to be better in those situations there. We had a chance on 4th and 1 and went back to 4th and 6. Those are 2 areas. And then taking care of the football. You know, that's in one area we said, where have we improved over the last 4 or 5 games? We've improved a lot in a lot of areas. Where we haven't is in the turnover margin. So we have to be diligent taking care of football.
The Celtics in Washington today to visit the White House to celebrate banner number 18. They'll remain in Washington to take on the Wizards tomorrow night, tip off at 7 p.m. as the group stage continues for the NBA Cup. And Sam Kennedy spoke with the Boston Globe earlier. He confirmed reports from last week that the Red Sox met with Juan Soto. Kennedy also said, quote, the goal is to win 90-plus games, to not be worrying about a wild card spot. Again, trending brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Go to findmassmoney.gov and see if you have unclaimed property. You could have an unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Tom Curran will join the show and talk some Patriots coming up.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
We had Pop running down the middle, and I think Booty up on the outside on the conversion. So that's a two-on-one ball on the safety. It's something we had talked about, just weren't on the same page with Pop as far as when that ball was going to come up. You know, I think the read was right. I think Pop looks a little bit earlier. He gets his head back and catches the ball. So, again, just growing pains of a young offense and young players. You know, we just need to continue to coach off of our mistakes and not make them again. You know, but the ball went to the right spot. You know, I just think we weren't on the same page.
That was Alex Van Pelt talking about the last play of the Rams game.
Thanks, Pop.
Real quick, before we get into this, we will be joined by Tommy Curran here in a few minutes. Stiz got in my ear. He said, "I'll be impressed if you can pick up on this song." Did I get it right away?
Nailed it.
Me too.
Nailed it.
Yeah, Andy Hart. He actually cheated. He told me.
Yeah, I told him.
Such an obscure song.
The hell is?
I mean, if you were
a big song, I guess. But like,
if you were into the Down with the No Limit Soldiers back in the 90s, then this is not obscure at all. I mean, this was a pretty well known one. But yeah, Soak the Shocker and Mystical with "It Ain't My Fault," which is what Drake May didn't say. Pop Douglas, I don't think, ever addressed it. Did Pop Douglas ever say anything about this play? What did he say?
He said it was miscommunication on both of our
parts. That's right. He did. He said
he threw Drake under the bus.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Who needs enemies when you got teammates like Pop?
Well, here comes Alex Van Pelt, clearly on Team Drake, which is, I think there was some truth to what Jones was saying, too, by the way, about how, who's it easier to have the backup in this situation? It's much easier, especially when you're the QB whisperer, and that's your guy, and that's basically what you're doing here at this point, is bringing along Drake May. Who are you going to blame for that? You're going to blame Drake May or the sixth-round wide receiver who's having an underwhelming year, and people were expecting more of this season, which, by the way, I wasn't expecting Pop Douglas to take some big leap this year.
I
thought it was going to be Jalen Polk and Baker. I thought those guys were going to be the ones who sort of took over in this wide receiver room. Not necessarily the case at all.
No.
So there you go. Van Pelt, not exactly covering himself in glory this morning. Real quick, before we get to your phones and before we talk to Tommy Curran, there was this on ESPN. Dan Graziano, Jeremy Fowler wrote their insider thing about Week 12 buzz news updates, fantasy tips, predictions, all that sort of stuff. And they had a quick aside about the Patriots and their lack of any movement at the trade deadline. It was Fowler who wrote this, and he said, "Now that we're a few weeks removed from the deadline, the Patriots' outlook intrigues me. They did nothing at the deadline, suggesting that this isn't as big of a roster teardown as many thought. Well, it is and it isn't. New England knows it's far too short on building blocks." Good, self-awareness. "But at the deadline, opposing teams had interest in only key players, such as Christian Gonzalez or defensive tackle Devon Godchow." Now, real quick, before I read the rest of this, Christian Gonzalez is a key player.
Yes.
Devon Godchow?
That took a bit of a fall off there.
Are we comparing these guys? These guys are on the same level now? These guys are equal building blocks on this team? What are you talking about?
Nope.
And if that's how the Patriots look at him, then that's wild.
I can't imagine.
What kind of offers were you getting for Godchow that you were turning down? Like, that's my question. If someone offered you a fourth or a third round pick for Devon Godchow and you said no, that's the malpractice on their part.
Oh, but I do think it ties in that you gave him money. And like we talked about this, I kind of do, because that's a really bad look for Elliott Wolf. Another log on the fire of a horrible offseason. If you paid a guy and then decided immediately to trade the guy, then why'd you pay him? Like, what were you doing? Trade him in the summer. You traded Judon. Why couldn't you trade Godchow then? Like, why would you give him money? Why would you kowtow? Remember, he was in that weird holdout too.
He was holding out.
So
you paid him. Things didn't really go the way you wanted. The run defense has been crap. You maybe have a little bit of buyer's remorse, and so you trade him because it's a lost season and you're tearing it down. That's what you do, right? I mean, who cares that you gave him money? I don't care.
I were Robert or Jonathan Kraft, I'd absolutely care. I'd say maybe I got the wrong person, because everybody you signed this offseason,
Robert Kraft's paying Belichick $25 million right now, not the coach. So maybe they should take a lesson from that.
Yeah, but that's a little different than Elliott Wolf's had one offseason, and everybody he signed, he either already got rid of or at least listened to getting rid of at the trade deadline.
Not everybody. I mean, this is one person, and I think that's
Bourne, he gave money reasonable. To, supposedly was in trade talks. Duggar was supposedly in trade talks. He gave money to him.
Yeah,
and
nobody
Mike
wanted
who's bad.
Yeah, no one wanted any of them. The first player was a hard no, Gonzalez. The second, Godchow, good enough to help keep the defense afloat up front. The maligned receiver room generated minimal to no interest, so New England stood pat, you think? The trade post-deadline buzz brings the roster into focus. The Patriots are disappointed in the offensive line and the receiver play, but feel that they have several players to help the cause in 2025 and beyond, such as Gonzalez, such as Drake May, Christian Barmore, and Kyle Duggar. They want to see the Jalen Polk and Javon Baker experiences through, so expect them to have a much bigger role next season. Excuse me.
He was sick over there. It's hard
more
to tell.
More Polk and Baker next season? That's what we're doing? I don't like that. I mean, you want to have him around? Sure, fine. But if this is what we're looking at next season in the wide receiver room is more of those two, I don't feel great about that at all. May's play has energized the building. The Pats hit on the most important position. Expect New England once again to work free agency for pass catching and offensive line help to maximize May's impact. Fine. All of that I think is okay and tolerable, except for more Polk and Baker next year. I'm all set with that.
So I do think there is some fairness there. I mean, if Jerod Mayo is going to say about himself that he expects a massive year two jump, well, doesn't he have to kind of give those guys the chance for a massive year two jump too? Because I would argue Jerod Mayo has been close to as bad in his job as a rookie as those two rookies have been in their jobs. Very different jobs, very different ways, but he has not been very good, and they have not been very good. Well, Baker hasn't really done anything.
That one kick return, and then in the second one, he started pouting, and they said, you're not doing that anymore, which was weird, by the way. You know, you have one, like, 40-yard return. That's pretty good. Maybe you can work with that. Maybe you can try and build off of that. And then he doesn't like his body language after the second one, and he's, you know, pouting and jumping up and down. Okay, well, do you pull him aside and say, hey, Javon, don't do that anymore? Or do you just say, you're off of kick returns
forever?
Teach
him a lesson.
Like that? Okay.
The hard way.
We
can do
one.
This the easy way or the hard way. We're taking the hard way.
I suppose we are. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Alex Van Pelt, who we just played in that opener there, blaming Pop Douglas for the interception. Also, unaware of the fact that Marcus Jones plays offense. Just didn't know it. Just like, oh, news to me.
He's like me when Stiz plays some like 90s rap rejoiner.
Plays,
I'm like,
I wasn't familiar. What was that?
No Limit Soldier music. It's
you guys heard
the
what
thing.
Boomer said about that Pop thing, right?
I think it's Warren Drake. It's his decision.
What does he know?
What is Boomer Esiason, though?
He clearly wasn't watching the play.
I think he was watching the play.
I don't think so.
He was also a quarterback. Either way.
Oh, that makes him an expert.
More than Alex Van Pelt, yes.
Alex Van Pelt was a quarterback, too.
Yeah, who was a better quarterback?
Boomer.
That's right. Tommy Curran joining us right now, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at DrainsByJames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tommy Curran, how are we doing today?
Tremendous. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk with you. Good to have you on here. We've been discussing several things today, Patriots related. The main one, though, being, and this is something that I think you can certainly give some insight into, Drake May. The chorus of praise for Drake May has reached, I think, a fever pitch here in week 11, November 21st, whatever it is. Even Mike McDaniel, you heard, the opposing coach. And it's not unusual for an opposing coach to heap praise on the player or the quarterback of the team they're about to face. But at this point in the season, with what we've seen and all the data that we've gathered so far from Drake May, is it your belief that the amount of praise is too little, too much, or just right?
I think it's just right, and I think that light dawns on Marblehead with more and more people as each week passes. I think that for us around here, you watch him against Tennessee, and you're like, okay, that's it. We see it. That's the guy. He's really good. They hit it. Good. He's improved a ton. He's only going to get better. I like the cut of his jib. But then the next week, somebody else sees it, and they weigh in. And then the next week, somebody else sees it, and they weigh in. So I think you have to understand that this wave is going to continue to hit new shores every week. And I know that people are into the eye-rolling stage. And we looked at our email for Boston Sports Tonight today, and my great friend Robbie Snyder, Buckets, said,
Buckets.
Just to be devil's advocate here, I mean, have we gone overboard? Like, no, we haven't gone overboard. The guy's got 9 touchdowns, 6 picks. Of those 6 picks, there was one throwaway that went bad. That he acknowledged should have been thrown away, should have hit the tuba player. And there was another one where he got undercut against Tennessee. Houston, excuse me. But there hasn't been a single one of those picks where you're like, what the hell was he even thinking? He peed down his leg, lost his poise, panicked, and threw it into a team meeting. None. And that, to me, you're going to have a guy who's going to make mistakes. That's fine with me. He's also been breathtakingly accurate relative to where he was when he came out last year. And I got into a discussion with a friend on Instagram, a listener to our podcast. He's like, what are you talking about? He was accurate in college. 63.8 was his worst year. And I said, completion percentage is not the best measure of accuracy. It's one, but it's not the best one. If you look, where does he miss? How much yak do guys get? How bad are his misses? Are they unforced misses? He had a lot of those. It's not having those as much. Wow, that's a good preamble by me.
No, it actually was, because it ties into our interview with Drake May on Monday, where I asked him about his improved accuracy, and he's like, I don't really know what you're talking about. I feel like I've always been accurate. So I'm glad you kind of painted it that way, that he has gotten more accurate, because I thought the beginning of last week's game was borderline remarkable how perfect he was. He hits Booty on the slant. That's an incompletion. Throws another one to Booty where I think if he fights more for it, he basically has a perfect first quarter, like 13 of 13
throwing
or something.
Sidearm, jump pass. He's doing all sorts of stuff.
I believe, and that ties into my question of Alex Van Pelt. So I was very dubious.
Can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
For folks who are wondering, as we have this little peeing contest with the quarterback and other folks, go back and watch last year's North Carolina State game. Just watch the first quarter. That's inaccurate. Thank you, buddy. Go.
Yeah. Alex Van Pelt, I've ridden a bit of a roller coaster in recent weeks. I didn't love the hire. I was on the air with Keefe when they hired him. I thought it was a terrible hire. I've kind of grown to like him and what he is, and we have to give him credit absolutely for Drake May's development. Then he comes out today and he says something like, yeah, I didn't really know Marcus Jones played offense. He really added something. I'm glad he texted me last week. Where are you on your evolution of how qualified and competent Alex Van Pelt is?
I'm pretty high on him. And I understand that people are inflamed at the latest shiny thing to roll across their desk. And yeah, he definitely should have been apprised of the talents within their team and maybe gone back to 2022 when the Patriots couldn't generate anything and seen that the little fella had a 65-yard screen that he caught and ran with. That should have been obvious to everybody. I mean, it's not like there's not any carryover at all, so that's a little disturbing. But are we going to look at that detail, alarmingly not passed on to the offensive coordinator as a hanging offense? And I know you're not saying that. I'm being hyperbolic. But and ignore all the other things he's doing. I mean, this team could not score at the beginning of games. Even as recently as this year, they're actually pretty solid in the first portion of games right now. Last year it was an embarrassment. The year before, kind of an embarrassment. This year they're pretty capable early. He's, as you said, developed a quarterback. I have no idea why Jalen Polk was on the field for a 4th-and-1 last week. Trick play, apparently, that wasn't going to work. And he jumped off sides. But, you know, I'm a Van Pelt guy with plenty of places where I can see the pimples.
Van Pelt also said, and I think Mayo said this too, that Drake May is not an error repeater. Is that a characterization you would agree with? Because it does seem as though, despite, you know, the details of the interceptions and things that you just laid out there, he does turn the ball over a good amount, and he has been sort of consistently.
But what are they? Like, I mean, if it's the same throw over and over, turnovers are going to happen. So do you want him to play like Jacoby? Of course not. You want him to feel himself, figure out what he can do, what he can't do. Tom Brady set his career high in interceptions in his second season after being meticulous in his rookie year with, I think, 18 and 12. And then the next year, I think he went up to 14. It was a career high for picks for him. You're going to have to figure out what you can do. If you're an error repeater, that doesn't mean you threw multiple picks. It's the same pick. Like a guy who strikes out 3 times, might strike out on a change up, a curve, and a fastball up and away. That's not, you repeated the same act, but it's not the same error necessarily. So I cannot devil's advocate for any other side on Drake May right now, except for the fact that what I said, build the team first and then parachute the quarterback in, you're going to be doing that for the next 3 years until he's making $65 million. So they better get it right this year.
They will. Don't worry. They're going to get T. Higgins. They're going to get Will Campbell.
Wait a minute. Hey, Arkin, what do you want to do with Jalen Polk? You want to put him at the end of the driveway after, like, nine games?
Not necessarily, but the idea that, you know, that's going to be a big part of the offense next year, according to Fowler, they're going to be sticking to these guys and seeing how it goes. I mean, I feel like we've been down this road with these first and second round pick wide receivers too many times, Tommy, and I see all the makings of that in Polk right now. So, yeah, I mean, kind of. What happened with Tyquan Thornton after his first couple of years?
I agree, and you put him in a prove-it situation, but you have to also give him the opportunities to prove it, I think. I mean, I don't think that they're going to bang it to him 88 times next year unless he proves he can do it. I mean, you can't give up on these fellas that quick. I mean, there's enough, you know, chaff out there with your Jawan Williamses and Duke Dawsons and Cyrus Joneses and Dalton Keynes and Devin Asiasis. I mean, they're horrendous. You can't keep throwing these guys out every time they don't work.
Agreed, and I don't necessarily think that that's 100% the case, but if you're sticking with him in lieu of an upgrade, then I think that's a mistake. I think that you need to have a total flush out of this wide receiver room, and if some people get caught up in the bathwater there, then, you know, too bad. But that's sort of how I look at it. I'm not thinking there's a lot to hold on to here.
Nope, I agree with that. That's different than recoiling at the prospect of him being given the opportunity to prove that he's not.
Well, maybe
horrendous.
It was a bit of a dramatic flair for the radio, Tommy. It's something I want to do here.
Perfect lead into my next question, because I heard something from your guy, Gerard Mayo, yesterday that I took as a little bit of a shot at his former boss, Bill Belichick. And I want to know if you think it was just coincidental or maybe there was a there. So he was asked about his relationship with Drake May, and his response was, "I think the head coach always has to have a good relationship with the starting quarterback, and we talk every day." Is there anything there? Was that anything talking about?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. It's radio. No. Say something else.
I just think the
talk
last thing in his mind, the last thing he wants to do is throw any starter fluid on any conversation with the former head coach. He's got enough going on right now here. I think that he's acknowledging that that's an important thing to have in a vacuum, unless the kid pisses you off and starts calling his old college coaches and you don't talk to him
at all.
So
you do agree with me.
Right, I agree that I note that there's a contrast between the two approaches, but I don't think that Gerard was trying to necessarily highlight said difference.
Damn it.
All right, let's get to our Flex of the Game presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership, save thousands with FlexCar. Second time seeing the Dolphins in Miami. Tua's playing. What's the Flex of the Game, Tom?
Flex of the Game is the Patriots returning to their recipe for coverage when they face teams with two very good wideouts. We've seen them deal with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase at the beginning of the year. Actually, one of those guys didn't play that day. Be that as it may.
Higgins didn't.
Last week, you saw Kupp and Nacua. Both the guys are 6'2".
Both the guys.
210 plus. So they're a little more difficult to deal with for a Jonathan Jones or a Marcus Jones. So I think that was some of the logic behind playing the amount of zone that they did. However, this week you have guys who have and can match up with those players in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and you have Jones and Jones. So let's see if they go back to that model and if they have a little bit more success this time around.
Tommy Kern, thanks so much for the time. NBC Sports Boston, we'll talk to you on Sunday, on NFL Football Sunday, and we'll hear you, of course, the quick slants and pre- and post-game, etc. Always good to talk with you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
All right, that's the great Tommy Kern joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any part of that, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Interesting stuff there. Interesting stuff from Tommy, as usual. We'll get into some more of that a little bit later on in the show. When we return, the Boston Celtics in D.C. today, visiting the White House, hailing the chief, and we'll see if Joe Mazzulla does or says anything really weird while he's there. I bet you he does. We'll get to that next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arkand and Hart on WEEI.
We'll be right back. Hark and Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. I want to say thanks again to Tommy Kern for joining us. We'll be joined by Rob Bradford here in about 45 minutes. And also in 45 minutes, the Boston Celtics will be joining President Joe Biden at the White House as they won their NBA record 18th championship back in June, beating the Mavericks. They will visit Washington for the second and final time during the regular season. So they're going to be playing the Wizards. I almost said the Bullets. They're playing the Wizards. They're in D.C. They're going over to see the Prez. The Celtics first visited the White House as champions in 1963. And the president at the time was John F. Kennedy. The last time they went was 2008 when they met with President George W. Bush. Of course, they had a bunch in between there, to be sure. I am interested in this only because of one man, and that one man is Joe Mazzulla. Because I don't know what he's going to say, but I know he's going to say something. I know he's not just going to walk in there and be like, wow, what an honor. What an honor. The Oval Office. Ooh, the Situation Room. Wow, this is so great. You know he's going to do something. You know he's going to do or say something, like, outrageous.
This is like a Saturday Night Live skit, because could there be three people that might be less on the same page than if you sat down Biden, Harris, and Joe Mazzulla? I feel like she'd be cackling and saying something. Mm-hmm. Biden would be, well, whatever Biden is at this point.
Yep.
And Mazzulla is talking about, like, a jujitsu roll, and then, you know, you got fight coins. Hey, Prez, what do you think of this idea? You get 5 fight coins.
I feel like Mazzulla is going to be really into, like, the Secret Service.
Oh, he should be.
You know? Like, that seems, like, right up his alley. Yeah. Wearing a suit, having the sunglasses, having a gun, like, just, you know, any moment getting ready to just shoot somebody. Like, that seems like more Mazzulla's lane. The politics, I don't know if he's political. I don't know who he voted for. Certainly doesn't talk about that thing. I could see him being completely apolitical and just thinking that all politics are stupid and that it should just be, like, survival of the fittest and the jungle, you know, jungle rules and stuff, like whoever Hunger the strongest games. Man wins, you know, that type of thing. Like back in the day, you know, Hammurabi, eye for an eye. Like, forget about politics as we know him. I could see Mazzulla being like that. But I'm very interested in he's going to stand up there and speak, right? The coach always stands at the podium and talks.
Usually.
I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. I feel like we should go live to it, except Bradford's coming out at 4:30, so I don't think we can.
Damn
but,
it.
You know, at some point, at the very least, we'll play it for you later, because
a lot of people forget I'm president, including me. But guess what? And by the way,
are you watching SNL this year?
No.
No?
It hasn't been bad.
It hasn't been bad, but
no.
For the 50th, it's like the 50th anniversary year, right? And they're having all these old, it's like a shadow cast, right? Because they have the regular cast. But then they also have Dana Carvey and Kyle Mooney and Andy Samberg.
Yep.
And what's-her-face who was playing Kamala, you know, what the hell is her name? But, you know, like all these sort of past cast members have been popping up for random things. And it's not been great. Like, it's been fine. There's been some funny sketches, but there's been some pretty bad episodes. I still watch SNL. But, yeah, I think that there's a lot of potential here. Maya Rudolph, thank you. A lot of potential here for, like, SNL, Mazzulla at the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that could be...
And you may not even need the SNL version. You may just be him.
Yeah.
Like, it may play itself.
Mazzulla may do or say something that prompts them to, like, write a whole sketch about it, right? Like, I think that could happen. Mazzulla may do or say something so weird that SNL decides, all right, we're going to do our open about Mazzulla at the White House.
What if he does the opposite? What if he shows you and says something so, like, astoundingly poignant for the time that it just changes the world?
I would be astonished. I would be absolutely astonished.
Well,
and listen,
he's a guy.
I like Joe Mazzulla. It's not like I don't like him.
And he's more confident. We talked about it with Scal yesterday.
Right.
I do think he has been emboldened even more so to be comfortable, not just in his own skin, but where his own skin fits in the whole world and the hierarchy and that whole thing. And that's fine. That's good. That should be. I think there will be entertainment value, though. I absolutely... There's always something that comes out. Remember, you mentioned Larry Izzo yesterday when we were talking about the high school kid.
Right.
But remember when Bush said, is it Izzo or Azzo? Is it Azzo or Izzo?
Right.
And he didn't know how to announce. Like, there's something weird will come out of it. And
Izzo, like H to the Izzo,
right,
is what you have to say. Yes.
If the Celtics are who we thought they are, or mm-hmm, think they are, they're going to have the chance to be the last here with Biden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to have... see Trump next year at this time.
Sure.
With a bunch of McDonald's.
Although, when Trump was the president, didn't he tell the Warriors, like, or the Warriors didn't want to go, and he's like, actually, I don't want you to come, or something, right? Wasn't there a whole thing with them?
Yeah, but that's Steve Kerr and the Warriors. I don't know if he'll have, are the Celtics going to be so politically motivated they don't want to talk?
I kind of doubt it, but Jaylen Brown's on the team, you know, like maybe.
He could be.
You know?
Jaylen Brown,
he's another one. I wonder what he's going to do.
Could he do something?
He might have
because
something to
this
say.
Is a platform
yeah.
that even some of the Patriots over the years have used for global politics or just, you know, causes that they want to promote or shed some light on. And Jaylen Brown is absolutely a guy that I could think could go down that road.
I'm a little surprised Brown's going at all.
Well, right? I think because Biden. So what I was just going to ask you is if this is next year, Trump's in, does Jaylen go? Then I don't know.
Good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. The second one. I think the first one obviously is a little different. You like go. You go for the first one.
Yeah.
And then once you've gone before, who was it? James Harrison who's like, why don't they invite us when we don't win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And it's like, because you didn't win the Super Bowl, you dummy.
What, are we going to invite everybody? Just,
who's
and everybody
play?
Could go.
Sure, yeah. Everybody.
Who's going to play Missoula on SNL? Michael Che or Keenan. Not Keenan, though, I don't know.
Not Keenan.
Maybe they could bring
I
someone.
Mean, there's only like three possibilities, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Without going down a dangerous
they could bring,
road.
Like,
I think
guess.
We're already down the road.
Yeah, I think we're there already, but yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I do wonder, though. Do you have a problem with it when guys don't go to the White House? I've never, ever had
I don't have a problem, but I think of it like you do. Like, it's the White House. The first time, like, if you can go in the White House, you go in the White House. Like, you want to.
Sure. But if you really don't like the president.
Yeah, but to me, you're not going. No one says you're in my opinion, the Celtics are visiting what? The White House.
Right.
No one leads with the Celtics are celebrating with Joe Biden. You know what I mean? Like, the president is almost secondary to the
I guess, but they come
the
with,
building,
their,
the,
with the jerseys that say Biden and yeah. Harris on them and stuff, yeah. and they stand there yeah. and they have to stand behind him and everything. I don't really. Like, I've always thought. Larry Bird skipped going to the White House one year, you know, like at every Tim Thomas, like there's
but did
been a
he
lot
just
of
not want to go or was it a political statement?
I don't know what it was. But the point is this is America and you should be allowed to do whatever you want.
And Brady went to the Apple store instead.
Brady did. Right. Yeah. When did he it was the 2016 one. Is that the one that he'd skipped?
Was that lineup? Maybe.
I can't remember. But yeah, I know he skipped it one year. And I think that in general, if you don't want to go to the White House, don't go to the White House. This is America. You don't have to go to the White House.
Sure.
This is communist China where you have to do whatever the leader says. Like, if you don't want to go, don't go. That's sort of what makes America great is that you don't have to
Absolutely.
Do any of this stuff and you can make a stand or a statement if you want to.
But I'd
want to
go with my buddies. Like, I mean, we were joking about Derek White and Jason Tatum on the podium. Like, I'd want to go screw around in the White House.
Yeah.
Because it's the White House. It's pretty good. Like, I told you, when I went, I stole, like, napkins out of the bathroom because they have, like, the presidential seal on it. And it's like, it's
Secret
cool.
Service comes rushing in here. Give me the napkins.
Even that was cool. Seeing Secret Service men in the yeah. bushes. Like, you're in the Rose Garden, you're like, hey, there's a guy with a machine gun in that bush over there.
Really? It's, hanging oh, out yeah. in the bushes?
Yeah. Yes.
That's, I didn't know that.
But that's my point.
I've never been to the White House. I've been to D.C., but I've never been to the White House.
I'm dying to go.
Just to go to see that, or just see the rooms where you see press conferences. Like, what is it, the Lincoln Room or something?
Yeah.
Or where they do press conferences. And I didn't even get, like, the behind-the-scenes Oval Office tour or anything. You're in the White House. It's just thinking, like, history has come through. And then you start thinking about, like, White House Down and those, like, horror movies mm-hmm. or whatever that whatever has fallen. White House, you know, what's it called?
Something has fallen. Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen, yeah, yeah, those yeah. movies. But no.
And what was the one with Jamie Foxx and what's his name? Magic Mike? Or Magic Mike's
I think that's
Secret
Olympus
Service.
Has Fallen.
Was that Olympus
I
Has Fallen? That, okay,
maybe.
Yeah. That one was pretty good. I like that movie.
But to me, you're looking at the history, not necessarily the man or the politics that put the man in the office at the present time, or you wanted the other woman in the office at the present time. Is she going to be there?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
She's still the vice president, right?
No, I know. I just, yeah. I don't know how she's feeling and how many public appearances has she been making?
Oh, she's done a
She's
couple.
Done a bunch?
Yeah. Not a bunch, but she's been out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, might as well.
Our own Justin Turpin will be there.
Turpin's going to be there.
Yeah. Actually, what I'm most excited to see is what I call first day of school Turpin, when he gets all dressed up in the comb over and like he, because usually you see him and he's, you know, like us,
yeah,
slobs.
Right.
Just
yeah.
coming to work at a sports radio station. Mm-hmm. But when he gets ready for these events, I think he's probably got a suit on.
He came to me yesterday
Clip
and said,
tie.
He said, where can I get a suit?
He didn't have a suit?
No, as of yesterday. I said, go to the men's warehouse, dude.
Wow.
Now I'm even more intrigued to see what he looks like.
Bradfo should have hooked him up with Gould's Distinctive Clothing.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing, by the way? Is Bradfo yeah. still? Well, I'll ask him at 4:30, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. That,
McFarlane.
There's something along that
yeah,
line.
Yeah, McFarlane.
McFarlane
awesome.
Energy. Yeah, something like that. 617-779-7937. Celtics are at the White House. They will join Biden in the Rose Garden at 4:30. We'll have any funny stuff that comes from that for you certainly after that. 617-779-7937. Don Sweeney. Said offers were made to Jim Montgomery. The Bruins are playing Utah tonight, and Jeremy Swayman kind of got benched. Oh, we'll get to all that next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.